Hey, so welcome, folks, to the next episode of the As Yet Unnamed podcast, although who knows, we may have a name for this by the time we release it. Or we may just call it that Wargaming podcast, because that may well work. And joining me tonight from the great soon-to-be white north, Vance, our good buddy Barthard is back. Howdy, Vance.
Hello.
And then our cat-loving, origins-hanging, video-making, Columbus-based dude, Gary. Howdy, Gary.
Howdy. How's it going?
I think we're all doing okay. We're changing up the questions a little to kick off the podcast lately. The question du jour seems to be, Gary, what'd you get at the GMT sale this past week?
Holy God. So I had some trouble with the website because I got in relatively early. I ended up over a couple of different purchases buying 7 games, 2 expansions, 20 counter trays, and a box.
And so the fun part of this is shipping for all of that came out too?
Probably in the $60, under $60, probably $50 to $60. I should, of course, put it all together into one thing, but I then, of course, forgot stuff, and then, of course, I forgot other stuff. So it ended up being 3 different shipments.
Yeah, fun. Any of them actually make their way to you already?
No, not yet. I got an order in relatively early, and it is on its way to me for UPS and should be here this week.
Well, there's some people posting pictures of things they'd already received. That's why I was curious.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure if they live, like, around the corner from GMT or what. But they're in California, and I'm not. So
yep. Let me tell you.
I won't be getting anything until about Thursday.
Yeah, so have you ever been to Hanford?
No.
Hanford is around the corner from nothing.
So is that Northern California, Southern California?
It doesn't matter. It's all California. It's all huge. But no, it's not really all that close to anything. So, the fun part of this, of course, is, our good buddy Vance is just living vicariously through the fact that Vance, I'm guessing you ordered absolutely nothing, huh?
Oh, no, I did. I got, Holland 44 and, Colonial, European Foreign Powers, or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah. Colonial Twilight? Is that what it was?
No.
Colonialism?
Yeah, it's just called Colonial.
Okay. Oh, okay.
European Empires Abroad or something.
Yeah.
Holland 44 is excellent.
Thanks, I hope so.
Gary, to go back to your question, Hanford's out in kind of the middle of California. It's near Lemoore Naval Air Station is like the closest landmark that I've got to it. But it's like somewhere between Bakersfield and Fresno up and down that Central Valley corridor where, again, there is nothing out there, right?
I mean, it's just never been to that part of California.
And there's a good reason for that, right? I mean,
because there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's no reason to go there.
There's none.
Except for GMT and Decision Games.
Yeah. Well, but again, the geography of California kind of boggles most people's minds when they haven't really dealt with it. Yeah, Bakersfield might be the nearest big town going south, but it's still like a 2.5-hour drive. It's not like it's next door. Yeah, I mean, it's a haul. I was out in not long after I moved from California to South Carolina. So this is like 18 years ago. I was in the National Guard, South Carolina, and they were getting ready to go right back to California for a big training event that summer at the National Training Center down in Fort Irwin. And so we got out to Fort Irwin, and some of the guys were asking, like, so, hey, sir, how close is this to where you used to live? And I said, probably about 7-8 hours. And they looked at me like I had 2 heads. And I'm like, guys, that 7-8 hours, like, gets you as far as Monterey, right? That doesn't even get you anywhere close to the Oregon state line from where Fort Irwin is. Fort Irwin's down near Barstow, right? You go to Barstow, you turn left, you drive 30 miles in the middle of the desert, and that's when you hit the front gate at Fort Irwin. It's out there, you know, the Army's got all that real estate because nobody else wanted it. It's really what it is. It's a giant desert chunk of the world's biggest laser tag facility. And these guys just didn't, they couldn't grasp the magnitude of space that California takes up. It was crazy. you know, from the moment you come down the Cajon Pass into Riverside, California, all the way to Santa Monica and the coast, you never leave off ramps and strip malls. And without hitting a traffic jam, that's a 3-hour drive. And so, you know, imagine driving from Cleveland to Cincinnati and it basically being one giant city. That's what it's like. So it's pretty ridiculous. But yeah,
I've driven from San Jose all the way north to Oregon, and man, that's a long drive.
Yeah, that was what, like 9 hours, 10 hours?
Yeah, so I don't know, something else. It was long.
Yeah,
I don't even remember, but it was long.
yeah, and you
I've
know,
done the drive the other direction from San Jose to San Diego.
Yeah,
it's like 13 hours.
Yeah,
on the PCH.
Well, that's when you're doing it on the PCH. That's part of your problem because you can't go more than 40 miles an hour for most of it.
So. Yeah, but it's beautiful.
Oh, hell yeah. No, we used to, you know, again, my wife's hometown is Monterey. And, you know, I had friends down San Luis Obispo. And I was stationed at Fort Hunter Liggett. So I know that stretch of California really, really well. Been up and down those highways a lot. And, but yeah, people that haven't been to California don't quite get the magnitude of it, which all goes back to the GMT warehouse is around the corner from nothing. And if there's people that are getting their shipments the next day in either Fresno or Bakersfield because they're just that close, then, you know, that's probably well-deserved for the penance of having to live in Fresno or Bakersfield otherwise. So, so Gary, in that laundry list of stuff, what are some of the highlights of what you did order and what you did manage to get?
So that morning, before the sale went live, they announced their new P500s for the month, and one of those new P500s was Next War Vietnam.
Yeah,
I've never played any of the Next War series, and I've been thinking about getting into that, and that was kind of the trigger. So I pre-ordered that, and then when the sale went live, I pre-ordered Next War Taiwan and Next War Poland, along with Pericles, Mark Herman game, Liberty or Death, which is of the coin games that I've played, is actually my favorite of the bunch. I ordered Newtown, which is one of the Battles of the American Revolution series, because I got the tri-pack of the three first games in the series earlier in the year. What else did I get? I got...
Well, you said you got a box, so I'm assuming that's one of the deeper boxes to fit the counter tray in.
That's for Labyrinth, actually.
Okay.
I ordered the Labyrinth expansion and the 3-inch box, because I've got the first edition in the 2-inch box, which is I could have a rant. I could rant for at least 10 minutes about GMT and 2-inch boxes.
You're not the only one. There are plenty of people that are well frustrated with that.
Yeah. So I mean, there are some games that are hopeless, right, that you're just not going to get back in the box. Like, I've got the two from GMT that I have that are like that are the Battle for Normandy, which is enormous, and A World at War, which is also enormous. I can live with that, but, I mean, you get games like Empire of the Sun, for example, which it's got a mounted map, it's in a 2-inch box, it's got a huge deck of cards, two huge decks of cards, actually.
Yeah.
And there's no way to get that back in a box. Once you actually, like, stack the cards up and put the counters in some kind of counter storage solution, there's just no way to get that back in a box. So right now my Empire of the Sun box is bulging by about 3/4 of an inch, and it's really annoying.
Is that just GMT's trick to get you to buy a bunch of box bands? Yeah.
Do they even sell those? That's not something that I saw. I don't know. I mean, certainly GMT is not the only culprit in this particular brand of villainy. I have picked up a bunch of stuff from Multiman this year too, and they're doing the same thing. Some of the great campaigns, the American Civil War stuff, for example, should really be in fatter boxes than they're in.
Yeah, the ones that actually drove me nuts for a while were when Victory Point Games was still shipping those little half-size Ziplocs. Those fit a counter sheet or two or three, in some cases, unpunched. But as soon as you punch the counters, there is a 0% chance of you fitting all that back in the Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
So
I've got some decision Ziplocs that are like that, actually.
Yeah, yeah, the little decision gametes. I've got
little folios.
Yeah, I've got Congo Merc here, and yeah, the same thing happened with that one. So, yes, you're right. It's not just Victory Point. But you wouldn't think Ziploc bags would be all that hard to fit everything back into. And yet, those little half-size ones were quite the pain. So Vance, how long did it take you to actually get onto the GMT website to get your order placed? Were you one of those ones stuck in purgatory?
Well, I tried the first afternoon, and then I just gave up, just bailed. But then first thing, I guess it was Friday morning, I got to work at like 7:30, which is 4 o'clock in the morning Pacific, and it was lightning fast. It took me 5 minutes to get my games and check out.
Wow.
Of course, I'm way behind in the order. I haven't even received a shipping notice yet, so
yeah.
Lord knows when I'm actually going to get my games.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to do mine as on the cheap as I could. So I apparently a couple of years ago, like literally 3 or 4 years ago, for one of the Secret Santa things that I was in, somebody had sent me a $50 GMT gift card. Thanks, Stags. And I had completely lost track of that until I was going through my email looking for something totally different and came across that in one of the email searches. I'm like, what the hell is this? Oh, hey, somebody sent me a $50 GMT gift card. That's kind of cool. So I plugged in the number, and I was like, whoa, this is still valid. And so when our good buddy Banzai Cat mentioned he had picked up Blackbeard on sale, I was like, oh, let me go grab that while it's on sale because the gift card will cover that and the shipping and everything else. And I boneheadedly totally lost sight of the fact that GMT's big fall sale was coming up. Well, I've got the game here. I've opened it. I've started reading the rules. I haven't punched it. So, I mean, it's not like it couldn't have waited until now. But I was just a bit of a dope there. And so I went ahead and I had ordered that. Well, I still had a couple bucks left on the gift card. So I was going through and looking through the GMT catalog of what was actually in stock or on P500 and that I would actually spend some money on. There were only one or two games that I might have done anything with the sale on. And none of them just really kind of excited me enough to where I said, yeah, I really got to go jump on that. And what I ended up doing was I ended up ordering a couple of blank counter sheets just to have some stuff for some prototyping here. And so I ordered 3 blank counter sheets, and it worked out to where I originally only had 2, and I was like, yeah, I can go ahead and get a third as long as the shipping cost doesn't go up. Shipping cost actually dropped. My order hit a dollar threshold at which I guess shipping became free. I'm not really sure. And so the counter sheets plus the free shipping at 50% off with the $3 and some odd cents I had left on my gift card, I ended up spending $1 at the GMT sale. I didn't have to fight through a DDoS attack to get to it either because I, you know, waited like 4 days to jump on this.
So I will point out that now during the sale, Blackbeard is 75% off.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Counter trays are $1, which is a simply not beatable price.
Yeah, the problem is once you stack up enough counter trays, you end up paying like 3 times that in shipping.
Yeah,
they didn't hit me. When I was plugging around numbers on the order last night, it wasn't too bad. I mean, if you're ordering 30 counter trays, yeah, you're probably going to pay about $19 in shipping. But you're getting 30 counter trays, which at the local game store here would cost
a lot,
like $120 for $30 plus $15 or $20 in shipping, $3 a piece.
Vance, you can cuss. We're not on the air.
Yeah, well, it's just the shipping to Canada would be like $47.
Yeah,
well, for three counter trays.
That's a whole different ballgame. So, yeah. So for Canadians and other folks offshore who are getting raked over the shipping coals, your best bet is to order so much stuff that the shipping costs disappear in the overall invoice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The And then it all arrives by private freight, and they pull a forklift into your driveway, right?
Exactly.
Vance, what you need to do is you need to become really good friends with somebody that lives in Buffalo.
Well, I have a U.S. address just across the border, actually. It's a 40-minute drive from here.
See? So what are you griping about?
I need to order a certain threshold to pay for the gas to drive there and back, because gas is expensive up here.
Yeah, well. Sorry. I mean, not terribly, mind you, but at least a little. So, Bob was in that boat. Bob has looked at the GMT website, I think, really just to torture himself more than anything else, because he's just sort of looking at that and going, you know, that whole 50% sale, that gets me to where the shipping cost is a mere 25% over invoice, you know, 125% of the cost of the games that I'm ordering.
Yeah, shipping to Europe must be horrendous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it can't be fun. And then you've got the customs pieces on top of that, so. So, Gary, of what you've ordered, which one are you most looking forward to hitting the table first?
I have been waffling back and forth on that since I started pushing these orders in. Probably Labyrinth, because I can basically throw it down on the table and get started because I played it before and I don't have to really read the rules again. But on the other hand, I'm really excited to get the Doolittle Raid solitaire game. I think that looks really nifty.
Don't you have a table big enough to do both?
Yes.
See?
I do now. So I actually have part of Decision Games' Atlantic Wall set up in here right now that I'm fooling with.
And only
part of it, not the whole game, because the whole game would take more table space than I have. And I've got 2 6-foot tables.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, Atlantic Wall is no small endeavor.
Oh, it's no joke, man. It's six maps that don't match together in a perfectly rectangular way. It's big.
And what scale is that? Company or something?
One battalion, 1 mile to the hex.
Shit.
Yeah. And it covers the whole campaign up through the end of August.
Yeah, the problem is, if you've ever seen it laid out all in once, and I've never seen it in person, I've only seen pictures, it looks like a platoon-level battle. I mean, there are so many counters on there that it looks like somebody's refighting Normandy at the platoon level.
So that system is battalion level, but you end up with, the way it really works is you do end up intentionally breaking your battalions down sometimes. You can do things like spread out armor assets. So it's battalion level, but there's a lot of company counters on the map at any given time. I may have pictures of this for you come February, because there is talk of us playing it at Winterfest.
The entire thing?
Well, I'm not, but however far we get, the going plan at this point is for me to go up to Menor or someplace in Ohio,
yeah,
in a couple of weeks and play out the air and amphibious landing stuff so that we can, when we get to Winterfest, we can set it up on June 6th a.m., having done all the invasion stuff, and then we can just start playing.
To clarify what I meant by the whole thing, I meant all of the maps, not necessarily through the end of the campaign.
I'm thinking we will set up all the maps, yeah.
That's what I meant by the whole thing.
That's fun. Oh, there's no way we'll finish the campaign.
Oh, no.
We'll be lucky to get to June 15th.
Yeah, you'd need to take a month's vacation to get through the whole campaign. And look, I'm saying that knowing that Winterfest is like an entire week. So,
yes. We 8 days of nonstop stuff, so.
Yeah.
And then another day of setting up and another day of nobody's really there anymore except some people to play some light stuff in the morning and then leave.
Yeah, yeah. Just to say that they were there all the way through the end.
Yep.
Well, it does sound like a ridiculously enjoyable endeavor. I don't envy the guys that actually have to do the setup and teardown. So,
well, it's a funny thing is it's a really small event actually. They had record attendance last year. I don't know if I told you this already or not. They had record attendance of 29 last year.
Yeah.
They're probably going to set another record this year because there are 2 additional tables of people that are going to be there to play Federation and Empire. 2 games of Federation and Empire.
Oh, right on.
So that's exciting. And we even last year, we had some Starfleet battles going on in the evenings.
Yeah. Vance, you realize that, one, this is easy driving distance for you, and two, nobody wants to be in Ottawa in February anyway.
Nobody wants to drive out of Ottawa in February either, though.
Well, okay, I can't help you with that part.
I was afraid that was going to be a problem, but we didn't. I mean, last year I drove there every day not from Columbus, but from Avon. And it wasn't a big, it was a 40-minute drive, 35, 40-minute drive. And there, weather was no problem. So once you're there, if you get snowed in, okay, we order pizza and we're done.
And no shortage of games. Yeah, you order pizza and keep playing.
Yep. And the hotels, I mean, it's a great event. The hotel's cheap. It's like $75 a night. If you split it, it's like $38 a night with hotel tax. So it's a fabulous event. And there's usually, last year we had four or five big things that were set up and got played the entire time. And then we had kind of constant flow of pickup stuff and shorter stuff that took half a day, or you could play in the evening or whatever. Some of those things get stayed set up. We played it just a ton of stuff. It was fantastic.
Yeah, in the smaller cons, the one that always sticks out to me was one of the years I was at Buckeye Game Fest, and the guys had, I want to say it was 3 days at Gettysburg. Am I getting that name correct? I'm not a big Civil War gamer, so. But they had 3 days of Gettysburg set up, and it took 5 days to play 3 days of Gettysburg,
yep.
Which I always thought was a great bit of humor. And again, you know, talk about enormous scale games. I really think that was like a single man counter level game. It just looked enormous. And you know, it would take like all afternoon just to do one move because there's just so many counters you got to push around. And they didn't have a team of people playing this. They only had, like, you know, two guys doing it the whole time.
That's part of the problem. That's not how you want to split that up. You want about five people playing that game. And any big Gettysburg game at that scale, you want about five people.
Yeah, and they didn't have – they couldn't find three or four more sufficiently crazy people to do it. So it's not like there wasn't anything big going on. I think that was the same year that they pushed, like, five tables together end-to-end and set up DAC 2 end-to-end.
Oh, my.
This may have been before you were hanging out with the Cavs guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm thinking you would need 2 6-foot tables, 4 6-foot tables in a 2x2 grid would accommodate DAC 2. It's about 10.5 feet long.
Yeah, I seem to recall something very close to that. I may be conflating two of the Buckeye Game Fests, and 3 days of Gettysburg and DAC were on different years, but I remember seeing them there and thinking, good God. I mean, it's an impressive sight to behold, but that doesn't mean that I want to necessarily have to be a part of it. So,
you know, I would encourage, this is something that, because I've never actually done that until this year's Buckeye Game Fest, is just to go to a convention and play one game the whole time. And I did that with the third winter playtest, OCS, this
yep.
year. And I would encourage anybody, even if you decide that that's not an experience you want to do every year, or, you know, twice a year or whatever, I would encourage anybody to do it, to try it, and have that experience where you can just focus on the game you're playing all week. It was fantastic. I mean, by like Thursday night, I was babbling. I was totally incoherent at that point. My brain was completely parboiled. But it was fantastic experience. I would encourage anybody to at least see if they can't make that happen for themselves at least once.
Yeah,
whatever event it happens at.
I think you're right.
We played GGW's Third World War, all four modules, all at once, for 4 days at Game On a couple of years ago. That was
a project.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary, I think you're right. I think everybody needs the one monster game experience just to say that you've done it and to help decide whether or not you'd ever want to do it again, because you can't really knock it until you've tried it. One of my monster ones, I've done a double blind NATO Next War in Europe, the old Victory Games one. That turned out to be a ton of fun. That was some number of years ago. And then back in college one time, we did manage to get a hold of a classroom for a weekend and set up it was one of the two of them that was in Mech War 2, but I don't remember which one of the two it was. But we set that one up over the entire weekend, And that one was fun. We had one of the ROTC instructors playing with us who kept wanting to put a little too much doctrine into the game. And we're like, dude, we're just playing a game, right? And so I can appreciate what he was trying to do, but it did sort of mess some stuff up for everybody else. It's like, we're just playing a game. Let's just have fun playing the game. So, you know, it was a good time. But you're right. I do think that everybody should, you know, at least once go for that big monster game experience and see what they think. So, Origins isn't a bad place to do that.
No, you could get a lot of play in. I just wish we had I've been saying this for years. I wish we had a dedicated room for that kind of thing instead of being reliant on the boardroom. But it does happen in the boardroom.
Yeah, we for a brief period of time we did have the war room that we could do that with. You know, where it was adjacent to the boardroom but still sort of distinct. However, you know, that's that era is now behind us, good, bad, or otherwise. When you had the boardroom out there and the war room with it down at the far end of the building upstairs, it was nice in that you were secluded a little bit where you had the space and the lack of distraction to just focus on the gaming. But the point was still very valid that it was almost its own separate baby convention down there, and that wasn't something that the Origins guys wanted to live with any longer. So,
well, for the boardroom especially, where you've got, I don't know how many people they had in there, but it was a lot. Was,
yeah.
Certainly some hundreds of people. I figure if next year they mysteriously decide we are going to have a dedicated Hex Encounter war game room, I'm thinking we might get 10 people. I mean, so we're not talking about quite the same scenario. Down at the other end, the acoustics were better, too, where you in that huge convention hall, the sound just echoes and echoes and echoes back and forth, and it's just this roar.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you wouldn't have that, and that's kind of that does hinder your focus if you've got, you know, a big game that you've been playing for a couple of days and you want to really laser in on it and make the right moves.
Yes. Yeah, it can be a challenge. And, you know, for years, the staff wargaming team was, you know, those command post games, we were upstairs in the war college. And basically, we got our own room. The war college would turn one over to us so we could just leave our equipment set up the whole time. And that was really nice in that we had our dedicated space where we could just be us and just do our thing. And that's all fine and dandy until such time as people realize, hey, this is kind of cool and we should put it out where other folks could see it. And now all of a sudden you're stuck down on the giant show hall floor.
Well, we'll see what happens now, since the convention is going to be under some level of new leadership over the next two years or so.
Yeah. Yeah. So that does lead to another topic of, Vance, I don't know how much you've been paying attention at all, but big changes afoot with Gamma. And so we're not really sure what's going to happen with Origins over the next year or two or three. Gary, any thoughts on it? What's your take on all of this?
Well, I'm not surprised. And I know they said that the decision didn't have anything to do with the seasonal drama that we had this spring. I'm not sure I'm convinced that that's true, but what's-his-name's contract was up, and they elected not to renew it. And so, I only really personally care. I don't really have any visibility on what Gamma does as a trade organization. I mean, other than that they run the Gamma trade show, to which I've never been, and probably I have no plans to ever go, and Origins. And I don't know. Maybe they will put it under new leadership and – and do what they've done in the past, which is hire a convention management company to run Origins. Last time they did that, it, as I recall, it worked fairly well until it became politically untenable for them to keep Andon doing it. So I don't know. I do not anticipate any major shakeup from the attendee standpoint. I think Origins is locked into Columbus for at least the next couple of years. So unless they put somebody in who wants to move the convention, I'm not sure I really care.
Yeah. Well, so I've actually reached out to a couple of different folks on the Gamma board, and you know, I'm not going to name names or anything, but I did reach out to them and just say, hey, look, I'm not a Gamma member. I'm just an interested party who happens to know a bunch of the people on the Gamma staff, but also, you know, this does affect us in that we do stuff at Origins every year, and kind of curious sort of what's happening, why it's happening, whatever, and to express a couple of personal opinions about some of the things that have happened with Gamma and Origins over the last couple of years, and a couple of things that I got from those guys, and I want to believe them because I don't think they had any reason to hide anything, but the drama at the convention over the last couple of years, both the invite, uninvite, hey, somebody's a special guest, no, they're not even at the show. Apparently that factored into this completely not at all, and nor did the drama with the Gamma president pushing his way past a security guard that hyperbolically got blown up into assaulted a little old grandmother just checking badges at the door. Neither
that was a badass grandmother, just yeah. So you know. That was a mean old lady.
Yeah.
And I walked in there, she looked at me like, I know that guy's a terrorist.
Well, no, this was at Gen Con, though, not at Origins.
Well,
yeah. In any event, apparently none of those things, nor the harassment issues that happened at Origins, none of those really had any bearing on this, that the timing of it all was being driven by the minimum number of days that they had to give notice to the executive director that the contract was either being renewed or not renewed, and the fact that that contract was being renewed for a four-year term. And that if it was potentially being renewed for less than a four-year term, that they would maybe dial it back a notch, do something a little different with it. Apparently, part of the outcome of the big member meeting a couple of weeks ago, back in September, and honestly, again, because I have family in Columbus, I was very tempted to drive up there and actually attend the meeting in person. As it was, I just watched it online. One of the motions that came out of that for the board was that they are going to enter into negotiations with John, the current executive director, on a short-term contract to kind of bridge John through the search for the next executive director. Now, the other thing that's happened in all of this is that they have not ruled out the possibility of rehiring John if he submits his application through this new executive director search. So it's possible he could be right back in there. I don't know if that's the case or not. I will say John was quoting somebody else, but I don't remember who he was quoting. But John did point out that for a good number of years, Gamma was, going back to your point, Gary, an event management company masquerading as a trade association. And that they are trying very hard to get much more back into the let's be a trade association and let's not just be running conventions. And what are the things that we can do for the industry as a whole, as a part of a trade organization? One of the things that they brought up is the issue of counterfeits, because counterfeit games come, particularly for those guys that publish in China, that print in China, has been an issue over the last year and a half that's gotten significantly worse. And we don't see a lot of those counterfeit games coming here stateside, but in a global marketplace, you know, cutting into their sales overseas really affects some of these companies. So Gamma's being asked to step up into being more of a trade association now, and we'll see how they survive some of those growing pains. It'll be interesting. What I know is they're supposed to be in Origins at Columbus next year, and we're supposed to be doing a bunch of wargaming stuff with them next year. So,
well, there's the contract through 2020, so I will, of course, be there. So,
well, yeah, I mean, we kind of figured you would.
Unless Origins moves outside of Columbus, I can envision no other scenario in which I wouldn't go.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of where I am. You know, again, I don't live there like you do, but I might as well, given that I've got family there in town, and so I'm just setting up shop in somebody else's living room while I'm there, you know.
And, hey, maybe I'll do some stuff that's not wargaming because I'm doing so much around here locally now.
Yeah.
Plus I've got, you know, two other conventions next year, three other conventions next year that I'll be doing stuff at. So
you jumped into a role-playing campaign this past year, didn't you?
No, I did, but I bailed on it because it was an online thing, and it just wasn't working for me, and stuff blew up for that particular evening, and my participation fell apart. They're still playing. They're just playing without me.
Ah. Vance, aside from just the wargaming stuff that we've been doing, what have you ever ventured off at Origins and gone and played something else?
No, I haven't. Somebody keeps overbooking me and working me too hard, so I don't have any time to go off and do anything else.
Yeah, that rat bastard. We should fire him and get somebody else in charge of scheduling.
No, actually, I've never had a chance to go off and I've wandered over and looked at lots of things, but I've never actually played anything else.
Yeah. For what it's worth, we did actually fire that rat bastard and put somebody else in charge of scheduling. So,
yeah, perfect.
You know. We've,
no, I'm there for the war games.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but wait, there's no wargaming at Origins. How could you be there for the wargames?
Well, my last 5 or 6 years of social media presence stands testament to the inaccuracy of that statement.
Yes, yes. I doing the math on it all, I was having a conversation with somebody and just kind of doing the math on it all. And you figure 17,000 people at Origins that are like, gamers that, you know, so that doesn't count the volunteers, that doesn't count the booth crews, but like actual attendees, game playing attendees, there's about 17,000 or so, even if you round it down to 16,000, right? 1% of that is, you know, if only 1% of that are actual war gamers, you still have the same number of war gamers there that you have at ConSim World Expo. You know, and everybody's like, so, like, I get it. The concentration of wargaming at ConSim World Expo certainly outstrips what we're able to pull off at Origins. Like, I'm not going to argue, even try to argue that point. But for
the
somebody to say that there's...
knowing where it's happening.
Huh?
The trouble is just knowing where it's happening at Origins. It's buried in this enormous convention.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And so one of the goals of the new organization and the new way in which we're going to be doing stuff at Origins is to make it a little more obvious and a little less mysterious where to find us. So that you know is going to involve any number of different promotional ideas and improvements in signage and presence and all that stuff. So. We're doing what we can. We're going to try some different things this year. Look, the biggest thing the last couple of years was just get it to the point where it was stable, where we actually had a presence that was reliable and dependable and that people could count on having some war games there. And now that we've done that, right, now that we've got the beachhead established, now it's time to expand. So we'll see what we can pull off. Who knows? One of these days maybe we'll get we'll get Kevin to come back. So, not counting on it, huh? Gary knows who I'm talking about. So,
do I?
Kevin Rohrer?
Oh, maybe. If there was, you know what? He probably would. If there was a wargaming space that was off in a corner somewhere, where there wasn't that volume of noise, he probably would. He is, as you know, a retired gentleman of leisure now.
Yes.
So he can just show up whenever he wants to and go home whenever he wants to, and he knows people in Columbus, so.
Yeah. The reality is I don't know that we're ever going to get that quiet, secluded corner somewhere that sounds great, says easy, does hard. I just don't know that it's going to happen.
Yeah, maybe not.
And
that's okay. Origins has a lot to offer, wargaming and not wargaming. So
yeah.
The convention is under no particular. They're looking at the big picture.
Yeah,
and you know maybe they're right and maybe they're not. But the fact is, we have other avenues for this kind of thing. I mean, heck, I'm playing OCS three nights a week over here. So there's plenty of avenues for wargamers to play wargames.
One of the concerns I would have with sort of hiding us off in a corner somewhere is that you don't get the serendipitous walk-by traffic, as happened this past year, where Wednesday night, running the Kriegspiel playtest that we weren't even going to charge people to show up to play, because we didn't want people paying to live through our mistakes as we tried to make sure that we could, you know, logistically handle all this. We're not early access Steam purveyors, right? We're not going to pay other people to fix our mistakes for us. Or charge other people to fix our mistakes for us. But we had a couple of people wander by. They're like, hey, that's kind of cool. What are they doing? That looks neat. And so we sat them down and said, here, join us. And then they came back later as paying customers. Like, you don't get that when you're hiding up in the War College.
That's true.
You know, one advantage to hiding up in the War College is you can, like, bring your own fridge and stash it in the room up there. And you're laughing, but we've done this.
Oh, this describes Winterfest perfectly, actually.
Yeah.
People brought their own coffee maker, their own microwave, their own little mini fridge.
Yeah, yeah. We had the dorm fridge up there and got to have a fun conversation with Dave O'Connor of Panther Games about Pop-Tarts. the Australian who could not fathom what the hell a Pop-Tart was or why anyone would want to try to eat it. But yeah, the problem there, of course, is that you get zero serendipitous walk-by traffic. So, you know. And then it gets even worse to your point of nobody knows the war games are there. So,
yes.
You know, when
so maybe an optimal solution is to have both I don't know how realistic this is, but to have both a high-profile, high-traffic war game area where one could play mostly small footprint stuff that fits into an Origins 2-hour or 4-hour slot, and then it wouldn't have to necessarily be a big room, as Buckeye Game Fest has shown us. We could fit a lot of very serious wargaming in one of those small rooms for the stuff that gets put up and stays up all week.
Yeah.
Or all weekend.
Yeah, at that point, your concern is fitting the wargamers themselves, as most of us are fairly wide bodies.
Well, those are double doors, mostly.
Thank goodness. But that would be the OCS room, right?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-oh, somebody forgot to turn off their phone in the movie theater.
Yep.
So,
Sorry.
We still love you.
That's what editing's for.
We edit these things?
Well, that's on you.
All right, so, Gary, you've got Winterfest coming up. You've just finished Buckeye Game Fest. Any other game conventions between now and then?
No. I was thinking of going up to ASL Oktoberfest, which is in Cleveland, for a day, and that just didn't happen. I was having car trouble at the time, so that situation is resolved, but it did happen at exactly the wrong time for me to go up to ASLOC for a day. And honestly, I don't play enough ASL to maybe fit in at ASLOC at this point. I'd like to play more of it since I have kind of a lot of it again now. But no, I don't have anything planned between now and Winterfest, and I don't have anything planned between Winterfest and Origins, actually.
Yeah. So, Vance, anything you're doing between now and next summer?
Yeah, no, Origins is the first thing.
is it lack of opportunity, or there just aren't any game conventions near you? I mean,
there aren't any game conventions up near me. Actually, there's one in Vancouver early November. There's one in Seattle in February, but they're like 3,000 miles away.
So yeah, I was going to say that's across the continent from
not
you.
Cheap.
Well, so
I believe Vance, I believe you are incorrect. There is a YouTuber named Gilbert Collins who also, not coincidentally, happens to be the designer of Mr. Madison's War. And there is a local, I want to say he is somewhere in Ontario, and there is a local game convention for that he does some video on. It's called Can Games, and I don't know anything about it other than it's in Canada.
Yeah, so there has been a Can Games here in Ottawa, but it kind of collapsed a couple of years ago.
You mentioned the drive down towards Buffalo. Niagara Board Game Weekend is coming up, so you do have that as an option. I am going to take this moment then and throw in a quick plug for over at the Armchair Dragoons website. We have the event calendar that I've gone out of our way to load us up as best we can with every, not every convention out there, but every convention at which one might reasonably expect to find some wargaming. So the ones that I know are primarily like sci-fi, comic book kind of stuff. We're leaving those off. But the ones where we're expecting that you're going to find some wargaming, even minor wargaming, they're on there. So Aslock's on there. Winterfest is on there. Game On is on there. So are some of the big ones, the WBCs, the Consum World Expos of the world. Those are all on there. We've had some of the guys over in Europe send some emails to say, hey, don't forget about this one. And so the Hammerhead Game Show is on there. We've got a variety of those. So folks that want to cruise on over and check out the event calendar, look, it's an embedded Google Calendar. You can subscribe to it yourself if you want to link to all the different wargaming conventions. But part of what we're after in all of this, one of the things that we really wanted to focus on with the, with this new community is a lot of the wargaming, Gary, you mentioned a lot of people are like, man, there's no wargaming at Origins, or, that wargaming, I think what we've found over the last, 5-10 years of doing a lot of this stuff is a lot more prevalent than people realize.
Yes.
It's just very segmented. There's lots of people sort of woodshedding, but there's not a lot of people out there that are waving, letting their freak flag fly and, hey, we're wargaming over here. And that if we can draw some more attention to just how pervasive all of the wargaming is, that people are going to see this really is a much bigger, broader community than people realize. And yeah, we're not all playing the same 10 titles the way we were in 1983, where you could sit down with anybody and reasonably expect the Venn diagram overlap of common games to be pretty significant. But with a trend towards some smaller footprint and lighter rules games out there that folks can sit down and play two or three different games in one afternoon session together, that certainly helps with bringing folks together for some of these things. But what we want to do with this event calendar, and the reason we're loading it up as heavily as we possibly can, is we want folks to see, hey, there's gaming going on all over the place. And part of what I've wanted to do in addition to that is we've added several of the game club calendar. So like the CABS calendar, you can see on our event calendar. The Old Dominion Military Society up in Tidewater, Virginia is on that calendar. If I can get
First
the guys...
Minnesota.
Okay, good. Why didn't you email me that earlier when you said, no, I don't know of anybody?
Well, I don't have their calendar, but I know First Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a dedicated war games group. I just emailed you the cangames.ca website, actually. I'll email you First Minnesota as well.
Awesome. So by the time people listen to this, I'll try to have them on our event calendar.
Can Games is right in the middle of Ottawa, actually, and it did happen in 2018, and they have a thing for 2019 already. And, of course, being in Canada, it is held at a curling club, which is amazing. No doubt there is a poutine shop right across the street.
Oh, yes, probably in the facility.
Yes, and hockey in the parking lot.
Depending on what time of year, either ice or roller.
They may have poutine delivery up there.
I almost feel like we should explain what poutine is so that people don't assume the worst and think that we just took a very racy turn on the podcast here. it's gravy-drenched French fries.
Let's hear our North Carolina and explain what poutine is.
Yeah, it's gravy-drenched French fries.
Pretty much, yeah, with some cheese on it.
With cheese curds, not just cheese.
And it is delicious.
Good for you.
I have, okay, so I've not tried poutine, but I have seen poutine, and I have a hard time believing that anything with that much gravy on it could remotely be considered nutritious.
There are places you can get poutine here in Columbus.
Yeah, because so there's Tim Hortons everywhere.
Nowadays.
Well, yeah, because Wendy's owns Tim Hortons.
Maybe, but I've never seen it at Tim Hortons.
Vance is just laughing at our complete lack of Canadian cultural knowledge here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen poutine in Columbus, and it's not poutine.
Well, I'm not saying it's authentic in any way. I mean, it's pizza in the same way that pizza in Columbus is pizza. But it's whatever it is, it's really tasty.
Yeah, I guess if you're going for authentic Columbus food, it's like, you know, the Cameron Mitchell restaurants and Wendy's.
Yeah, and Max and Irma's, I guess.
Although White Castle is headquartered there.
That's true.
You pass the White Castle headquarters going between my crash pad and Origins. It's just the road that I take to get down there. So, going back to the whole event calendar piece, folks, if you've got clubs that are that you've got like a public-facing Google event calendar, please drop us a line, send us a note so we can get that added to our big event calendar. Look, my dream state is that event calendar has, you know, at least two events on every single day of the year, except maybe Christmas, New Year's, and possibly Thanksgiving. But even those, I'm not ruling out, given that the people in Europe don't really celebrate Thanksgiving, and it's entirely reasonable you could have some Italian war game club meeting that day. So send those over. I mean, again, this is a big part of what we're trying to do in bringing the wargaming community together, that people can see, hey, there's a crap ton of us out there. There's really a lot more than people realize, and there's no point not trying to bring that community together a lot more to say, hey, where can I find a game? Where can I find someone to play? Where can I sit down and get a face-to-face counter-pushing game and not end up having to do everything play by email or Vassal or whatever else? Right? How can we get a bunch of us around a table together and go sling dice? And there's no reason not to. You know, there's more than enough of us out there. So I think that's something we've realized. That's why, Gary, I was curious what other conventions you were going to, knowing that there's, you know, you've got a bunch of them in spitting distance right there, because isn't there one down in Louisville coming up later this fall?
There is, but I forget what it's called, and I'm not going to it, so that's why I forget what it's called.
So.
But, yeah, I mean, we have between Origins, which is right here in town, we have Winterfest, which is up west of Cleveland. We have ASL Oktoberfest, which is in Cleveland. If you branch out into other types of gaming, there's other events as well. But those are the three events that Wargaming happens at.
Well, BGF.
And Buckeye Game Fest, right, which we, you know, we had a whole dedicated room where we ground away at OCS all week. So I mean, that's four wargaming events within a two-hour drive, in two cases, within a 20-minute drive, for me anyway, of Central Ohio. So yeah, there's a lot going on, and a lot of it is that people just don't know that it's going on, because there is no central social hub for wargamers, right? I mean, you got people, you know, at events, and people that mostly stay offline, and you've got people that hang out at Constant World, and people that hang out on BGG, and people that hang out on Game Squad, which is for some reason the epicenter of ASL online forums.
Which cracks me up, because aside from the ASL stuff, it's like a complete computer gaming forum.
Yes. There's presumably a story there. I don't know what that story is.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? And then you've got the gigantic Wargamers Facebook group.
Yes, which has like 7,000 or 8,000 people in it now.
Yeah. Yeah. But Wargaming is dead, you know.
clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost 10,000 people, actually. Yeah. It'll hit 10,000 people by the end of the week.
Yeah, probably.
And people say that, and maybe for that person, they just don't have anybody to play with. But unless you live in an extraordinarily remote location, chances are pretty good, even without finding someone to recruit into the hobby, there are wargamers around you. There were around here for the couple of years I spent looking. You just got to kind of find the right people and people you're happy to play with.
Yeah, I think that's part of it.
Yeah. And if you have a local club, like we have here in Columbus, that does mostly Euro-type stuff, but the occasional war games happen there, you have a venue through which you can, you know, meet people and get to know some of the folks involved in and or interested. And we've got a couple of new people, you know, newish young guys interested in war games locally around here because sometimes stuff like Labyrinth or Tron of Struggle or Coin or whatever gets played at cabs, and it looks interesting to them.
Yep. Hey, what's that? Hey, show me how to do that. So, yeah, totally. Vance, the gang that you play with up there in Ottawa, is that just a bunch of friends or is that an actual club?
No, my normal gaming group is a bunch of guys I've been hanging out with since high school, but so 35 plus years. But there's a bunch of local, you know, once a week gaming clubs in town, but they're mostly Euro types. Although there are occasionally a war game or two shows up. I haven't been to many of them. I don't really like people though, so it's hard for me to go to these things.
That's understandable.
Yeah. The idea of Vance not liking people I can totally buy. Somehow that does not seem strange to me. Yeah. Somehow that doesn't seem strange to me. So Vance, your next convention likely is Origins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to try here in a week or two. I think it's about 2 weeks out. I'm going to try to make at least a one-day appearance at Mace out in Charlotte. It's been 10 years since I've been to Mace. And it has grown exponentially. The last time I was at Mace, it was actually in a different town altogether. It was back in High Point still, before it relocated to Charlotte because they could get bigger and better facilities. And so I'm hoping to head over to Mace. Airboy's supposed to be there, meet up and grab a drink with him, and see what's going on there. And Mace is one of the ones on our event calendar, but definitely want to take a look and see what's going on for some gaming there. I've got friends that are going to be there. I'm tangentially connected to the guy that runs it. One of my best friends, his wife, and the guy that runs the convention, his wife, were college roommates for several years and were best friends and were in each other's weddings and everything. So there's a tangential connection to it all, but a bit of a familial connection because I can show up with my buddies and I've got kind of an in with the folks that run the show. So that's kind of nice. But absolutely want to go show up and check that out. And then next spring, I've got Playthrough that happens here in Raleigh that I've made an appearance at as a journalist in the past. And I may reach out and talk to them about possibly doing some wargaming with them. One of the other things we want to do with Armchair Dragoons, and, Gary, I don't know how much this affects you because you've got wargame-specific conventions where you are, but we want to take our wargaming program on the road and start doing this at some other conventions and to actually have a wargaming presence, sort of an official, I'm holding up air quotes on a podcast, right? Which is kind of foolish. but have one of those sort of official presence, at multiple different conventions. And so, what's nearby that we could try to hit. We know Cyrano's got Nexus and GaryCon and GameholeCon and plenty of other great game conventions right up there in and around where he is up in Milwaukee. We've got the guys up in Detroit where Bob Fix has his local convention up there. I've got Mace and Playthrough both right in my backyard here. So there's plenty of places that we can look to put some sort of official presence and kind of plant the flag.
Even staying away from the larger, better-known war game events like Content World and WBC, there's still plenty of smaller events.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And quite frankly, we don't need to show up at Constant World and WBC to try and evangelize wargaming, right?
That's true.
That's That's like being the Bible-thumping preacher outside the tent revival. Right? It's sort of,
right.
You're kind of pointless at that point. So where can we actually do some damage, as it were, that we can get out there and you know, wave the flag high and proud for the wargaming world, and where would it actually do some good? And I think to do that, you've got to get away from the Content World Expos and the WBCs and the Winterfest and the Aslocks, and you know, you've got to go find those other ones where wargaming, especially some of the lighter stuff, would be receptive. Or you may have actual wargamers that are there, but that's the closest game convention they can get to. They would gladly play a wargame if somebody would put one on a table. But in the absence of a war game, they're going to sit down and play Ticket to Ride because they just want to play something.
How close are you to Atlanta?
Not close enough that I want to try and tackle Dragon Con.
Okay.
But the Southern Fried Gaming Expo is not out of bounds. The issue with that one is timing. It happens very close to Origins in the calendar. And it's just that's a little too tight to try and pull both off. So if I could find somebody that's not going to Origins to try and tackle Southern Fried Gaming Expo for us, then perhaps we could look into that one. You know, but again, the fact that we just rattled off a dozen different conventions here.
Yep.
Again, the cheap radio station plug, right? All of which are available on our event calendar. You know, but that speaks to the fact that there's plenty of gaming to be had. Folks, you got to go looking for it, and we're trying to make it easier to look for it. So,
and it's actually tough to do it online. I mean, I was fishing around for a long time. I don't mean a long, long time. I mean a year and a half, 2 years maybe on Townsend World and on BGG to try and get to drum up local wargaming. And now I'm friggin' swamped in local wargaming. I got more stuff than I can do. So, I mean, a lot of it's about pounding the pavement, and a lot of it's about there not really being a place to go. The closest thing that we really have to a one place where all the wargamers hang out is that Wargamers Facebook group.
Yeah, I think that's eclipsed ConSim World at this point. The challenge is it's just damn hard to search through there.
Oh, yeah, because the signal-to-noise ratio is actually quite high, but there's so much signal and so much noise because there's 10,000 people in that group.
Yeah, but the other thing is, you know, if somebody puts out there the notice that says, hey, we've got a gaming club in Oklahoma City that meets, you know, the second and fourth Thursdays of every month, come join us. That's fine until, like, a week later, there's been, like, 642 other posts in that group now, and it's buried, right. And you can't find it. So,
exactly.
So that's why, guys, if you've got those regular game clubs, the ones that meet, send up a flare, let us know so that we can go ahead and put those things on our event calendar and make it a lot easier for people to find. And I know I sound like a bit of a broken record, and quite frankly, I don't care. Because I want the word to get out on this. I want anybody to be able to go, hey, I need to find some local wargamers. Hey, I'm making a trip to Modesto to visit my family for a week. Where's the nearest gaming that I can get out of the house for a night and go play something? All right? Let's help people find those groups. So that's what we're after. That's what we're trying to do here. We'll see how successful we end up being. But so we've hit our hour. And we hit an hour without Gary actually giving us the entire inventory of everything that he bought from GMT on the sale.
Oh, my God. I didn't even tell you everything.
Which is probably okay because it's alternately going to make Vance really jealous or piss off some of the listeners who couldn't get into the sale as quickly as you could. So
they have sold out of I know that they've sold out of a couple of things over the course of since the sale started, but I don't think they've sold out of very much.
Yeah, I will say that I actually didn't initially realize that the sale prices were good for P500s, or I might have actually plunked down an extra order or two. So it's probably a good thing I didn't.
So the sale price does not apply to P500s.
It doesn't.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I was correct.
Nor does it apply to the last round of stuff that they're just shipping that just came off of P500.
Yeah.
I want to say that's basically Fire in the Lake and the Fire in the Lake update kit, and maybe one other thing that's coin related because they're in the middle of this huge coin thing right now. Everything else.
Space Corp didn't make the sale list either.
Okay, so I don't feel too terribly bad. I did almost pull the trigger on Leaping Lemmings and then sort of back.
Oh, my God. Well, it's inexpensive. It could be delightful for all I know.
I will tell you, so I've played Leaping Lemmings a bunch. It's a fun game. I actually, the designer taught me and my son how to play because he used to live locally around here.
Huh.
And it is quite a fun game. It is definitely a kid-friendly game. It is amusing and borderline sarcastic in all of the right ways. It really is an enjoyable game to play. I'm just not sure how often it would actually hit the table in any circumstance in which I wasn't already over at Gamers Armory here locally where I could just play with their copy on the game shelf there. So at that point, cheap or not, why would I spend the money on it when I've got a playing copy 10 minutes from my house that I can drive over there and set up and play?
Well, because it's inexpensive.
Yes, well.
Because you're a collector like the rest of us.
Yes.
I've stopped referring to my games as a collection, by the way. It is now a library.
Ah, there we go. That's so much better.
Yes, exactly.
Vance, did you see the inventory of role-playing stuff that I had posted online elsewhere?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay, so when we start talking about a collection or a library, like, that's just the core rules. That's not all the supplements and expansions and everything else. That was
definitely a library.
That was just core rules. And I realized eyeballing it, not eyeballing that list, but looking for something else in here the other day, I still forgot stuff on there because I have the original German language versions of Das Schwarze Auge from when I lived in Germany that's now been reprinted. You know, the Kickstarter came off last year. The Black Eye is being reprinted in English. But I've got the original German ones here, so that's another set of core rules I forgot on that list. So, yeah. the fact that I'm simply contributing to the pile of stuff here, I don't want to become Mirth, right, where I've got an entire house. I could build a house out of the still-in-shrink-wrap games that I've got piled up on my dining room table. Not quite looking to be that guy. So, but, all right, guys. This has been fun. We're a little over an hour, and try to keep these in bite-sized pieces so that folks going about their Washington, D.C. commute get a chance to listen to something else besides just us. But yeah, definitely we're gonna do some more of this. So Gary, thank you very much for joining us, especially on short notice when our other co-host had bailed out on us at the last second. And Vance, thank you for dialing in from the Great White North before winter cuts off all communication.
Anytime, sir.
So, say hi to Bob and Doug McKenzie for us.
Yeah.
Oh, they're my neighbors.
Are they your gaming neighbors or are they the non-gaming neighbors?
They're the non-gaming neighbors. I'm going to see the gaming neighbors this weekend. We're going up to the cottage to close it up.
There you go. There you go. All right. Guys, thanks. Audience, thanks. Appreciate it. Again, armchairdragoons.com, two O's in dragoons. I have no idea what armchairdragons.com might be, but it's not us.
Don't trust it.
Yeah.
Don't Google that.
It's the internet. You never know where it'll go.
Yes. Yes. One of these days, Gary, when you're back on here, ask me about Schrodinger's porn.
I have a hunch I've heard about it already, so we're covered.
It's a fantastic internet meme / term. But yeah. ArmchairDragoons.com, especially the event calendar, some of the other things that we're going to be rolling out over the next 6 to 8 months for some different live events and ways in which we can actually get Wargamers into rooms together to sit down and sling some dice and make some new friends and realize that you're not suffering all by yourself, right? There is a whole community of us out there, and we're all doing stuff, and let's do something together.
We're all suffering together.
We're all suffering together. Right? We all have this disease of game libraryness that let's all share. So thanks. We're saying goodnight because, you know, we're recording this in the evening. But thanks for listening whenever the hell you're listening to us.